Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Good afternoon to the members of the delegation who are in Hong Kong, and good morning to the members of the delegation here in Geneva, and also to my colleagues. I would join my colleagues in thanking the delegation of Hong Kong, China for participating in this meeting and having a dialogue with us for 3 days. Today, I'm going to address the issues in paragraphs 4 and 5 of the list of issues. I start with the issue of paragraph 4, which also addresses national security law. Under the national security law, the Office for Safeguarding National Security of the Central People's Government may directly exercise jurisdiction over certain serious cases. According to the reply to the list of issues, the enforcement acts performed by the staff of the office is not subject to the jurisdiction of the Hong Kong SAR, but they must abide by the law of the Hong Kong. It seems to me this explanation is ambiguous. Please clarify whether the office and its staff must act in accordance with the Hong Kong Bill of Rights and also relevant provisions of the covenant, and provide information in what manner the enforcement acts by the central government staff are subject to judicial review or other judicial challenges if those acts are allegedly carried out in violation of the covenant. Article 29 of the National Security Law criminalized such acts like unlawfully provide state secret or intelligence concerning the national security, and provoking by unlawful means hatred among Hong Kong residents toward the Central People's Government. However, the definitions and elements of these crimes are very vague and general. Please indicate concrete measures the Hong Kong government has taken to ensure that the criminalization of those acts would not infringe the rights under the covenant, including the freedom of expression and the right of peaceful assembly. In June 2020, pursuant to Article 43, paragraph 3 of the National Security Law, Chief Executive issued new implementation rules for the purpose of applying to the investigatory measures that would be taken by the new created National Security Division of the Hong Kong Police Force. Hong Kong, China explained in its reply that the power provided for in the rules are generally in line with existing police powers, which contain the necessary safeguards. However, Schedule 1 of the implementation rules allows the Hong Kong police, under certain conditions, to engage in warrantless search of physical property and electronic devices of the individuals with alleged connections to national security law crimes. Pursuant to Schedule 3, the Secretary for Security has the authority to freeze the property of individuals being investigated for alleged national security law crimes without obtaining the court warrant to do so. The Schedule 4 also authorizes the police to order that online content posted on the local website be removed when the publication is likely to constitute an offense endangering national security, and no warrant is needed under certain conditions. Please explain what measures Hong Kong government has taken and is taking to put implementation rules into practice in a manner compatible with Hong Kong's obligation under the covenant, and also indicate what judicial remedies are available to the persons whose rights guaranteed under the Hong Kong Bill of Rights and the covenant are violated by the measures taken under the implementation rules. The committee received information that some organizations located outside Hong Kong receive a letter from the Hong Kong police accusing of their violating the national security law and demanding takedown of their website. Please explain on what grounds national security law is extraterritorially applicable to the website of which contents are entirely lawful under the domestic law of the countries where those organizations are located and in light of international standard and therefore to be protected under the covenant. Now I move on to the paragraph 5 concerning the legal framework for a state of emergency. Under the Emergency Regulation Ordinance, on any occasion which Chief Executive may consider to be an occasion of emergency or public danger, he may make any regulations whatsoever which he may consider desirable in the public interest. This means the Chief Executive has the power to issue emergency regulation on the ground of public danger, which is different from a state of emergency that threatens the life of the nation as Article 4 of the Covenant provides for. In fact, when imposing the mask ban in October 2019, Chief Executive stressed that Hong Kong was not in a state of emergency. Please clarify the difference between the public danger and the state of emergency under the Emergency Regulation Ordinance, and explain how Hong Kong, China considered restrictive measures taken by the Chief Executive under the situation of public danger is compatible with Article 4 of the Covenant. According to the General Comment 29, measures derogating from the provisions of the Covenant are limited to the extent strictly required by exigencies of the situation. This requirement relates not only to the necessity of such measures in certain situations of emergency, but also to the principle of proportionality. Hong Kong, China clearly admits these principles in its reply. However, it seems that the Emergency Regulation Ordinance itself does not provide any such requirements to be satisfied. Please provide information on the safeguards to preclude unnecessary or disproportionate restrictions of human rights in the circumstances of public danger or emergencies under the Emergency Regulation Ordinance. Lastly, please provide information on the measures taken under the Emergency Regulation Ordinance or on other legal basis in response to COVID-19 pandemic, particularly whether the Hong Kong government or central government declared the derogation under Article 4 of the Covenant, and if not, how to harmonize the restrictive measures taken with the Hong Kong's obligation under the Covenant. Madam Chairperson, this ends my question. I would highly appreciate the answers from the delegation. Thank you very much indeed.